Good evening and welcome to our midweek service, the Heritage Baptist Church. Still in a situation where that we are not able to meet together, but we're very thankful for the privilege of being able to come together through the technology available to us today. We're certainly glad that you have joined with us this evening. As we meet together for a time of studying God's Word, I trust that you'll not forget that this is also a time of Bible study and prayer. And I hope that wherever you may be, as you meet together, either alone or with those who are in your household and are viewing this time with us, that you will remember to sing a hymn or two and also remember to spend time in prayer. Many people in our church are going through difficult times that they need our prayer. There are people around the world who need our prayer because of this situation that we're facing today with this pandemic of the coronavirus. Also, we need to remember to pray for our missionaries. These are difficult times for the missionaries on the foreign fields as because of the economic factors involved, certainly their support is going to be impacted. And so let's do be faithful to pray for them, that God would meet their needs and that God would help us to be faithful to do what we need to do in order that we might help their ministry to continue in the foreign fields where they are. I want to share with you tonight a message that I actually preached some time ago, but I think that in light of the situation in which we find ourselves, I think it's very applicable. And so I would like to call your attention once again to the subject, when faith turns to hope. When faith turns to hope. The natural man of the world, by that I mean a man who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, a man who does not know God. The natural man of the world lives a life that is based on human logic. It's a life that is based on human reasoning, human assumptions. It's a life that's based on the scientific data that they are able to come to understand. But you see, that creates a problem because no matter how much we may know, our knowledge is always limited. Of course, those of you who are parents, you understand that does not apply to teenagers because teenagers know everything. You don't believe it, just ask them, they'll tell you. But the fact is, all of us have a limited knowledge, and it's because of that limited knowledge that when you talk to the average person who does not know Christ and they do not have a relationship with God, the unsaved man is a man who has no understanding, really, of where they came from. They have no understanding concerning the purpose of their existence on this earth. And they also certainly have no idea of what's going to happen when they depart from this life. And so, therefore, their whole existence, bottom line, it is marked by a certain sense of futility or hopelessness. But for the believer in Jesus Christ, those who have been born again and have been made to become the sons of God, as the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, the story is totally different. Because you see, by our faith in God and by our relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, we have an absolute assurance about where we came from. We were created not by some accident or some cosmic explosion, but we were created in the very image and likeness of God Himself. We also know the purpose for our existence on this earth. The purpose of our existence on this earth is very simple. It is to glorify God. And not only that, but we know what will happen when we depart from this life, how that we will go to forever be with God. In other words, the whole of our existence is marked not with futility and hopelessness, but our whole existence is marked with hope. And the reason is simply because, as the psalmist said in Psalm 62 in verse number 5, my expectation, what I expect, what I hope for, what I long for is from Him. Talking about God. It's from God. In other words, our expectation, our hope is a product of our faith. It's a product of our faith. But there's a growing process that is involved here. There's a process that moves us from faith and to hope, a process that moves from one to the other. And so as we begin our discussion of this subject, I want us to notice, first of all, point number one, the understanding of faith. The Bible has a lot to say about faith. And as we define or as we understand what faith is, I want us to notice three things the Bible has to say. First of all, the Bible speaks of the importance of faith. The importance of faith. There is only one passage of Scripture that is needed to make this point abundantly clear. That passage of Scripture is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6, where it says that without faith, it is impossible. Doesn't say it's difficult. Doesn't say it's very hard. It is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so that is the importance of faith. It is vitally important, because bottom line, without faith, there is absolutely nothing that we can do that will be pleasing to our God. And since faith then is so vitally important, then we need to know what it is. And so I want you to notice letter B, the definition of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter which some have referred to as the Hall of Fame for the faithful, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, now faith is, now here's the definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is simply a deep confidence. It is a deep assurance that all of the promises of God which we hope for will certainly come true, even though humanly speaking, we cannot see how it could possibly be. That's what faith is. Remember Abraham? The Bible gives us a story of Abraham. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4, verse number 19, that he was 99 years old, and as far as producing children was concerned, he was like a dead man. And not only was he past the age of producing children, his wife was past the age of bearing children. Her womb was physically incapable of such a thing. And yet when the Lord God told Abraham that he and Sarah were going to have a child, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, the Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Have you ever seen someone who received a piece of news that was totally unexpected? It was something that was very shocking. And when they heard the news, they sort of staggered back in unbelief. And yet when God told Abraham, Abraham, I know you're old and I know you're past the age of having children, but I want you to know you're going to have a child. He staggered not. He staggered not at God's promise. Unbelief had no place in his life, but he believed. He was strong in his faith. And because of that, he glorified God. He glorified God. But where does that kind of faith come from? Notice letter C, the source of faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we hear what the word of God has to say, we will see a couple of things. Number one, we will see God's promises stated. As you read through the scriptures, time after time, you hear the words, thus saith the Lord. And then there's a promise. There's something that is given there. Something that is given. God's promises are stated. But not only do we find God's promises stated in the word of God, we find God's faithfulness is illustrated. His faithfulness is illustrated. Listen to the testimony of a couple of men from the Old Testament times. For example, listen to what Joshua said In Joshua chapter 21, verse 45, as Joshua's coming to the end of his life and he's reviewing for the nation of Israel how that God had brought them out of the land of Egypt and brought them through the wilderness and now has given to them all of the land that he had promised to them, Joshua said in Joshua 21, verse 45, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, all came to pass." What was he saying? He was simply saying, God is faithful. God not only gives promises, God keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. Listen to the testimony not only of Joshua, but listen to the testimony of King Solomon. After building the temple of God there in Jerusalem, in his dedication prayer, he makes this statement in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. He said, "Blessed be the Lord. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise." That's the understanding of faith. That's the understanding of faith. But then I want you to notice number two. I want you to notice the measuring of faith. The measuring of faith. When we think of faith, many times we think of it in the terms of the haves and the have-nots. In other words, we think of it in terms as those who have faith and those who have no faith at all. And somehow we have the idea that faith is the same for all men. Simply, they either have it or they don't have it. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. I want you to notice with me in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, "For I say to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man," notice these next few words, "according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The measure of faith. Here the Apostle Paul teaches that our faith is measurable. Our faith is measurable. In other words, there are different degrees when it comes to our faith. When it comes to our faith, and when our faith is measured, there are basically two degrees that are mentioned. First of all, the Bible talks about what we would call great faith. Great faith. The Lord Jesus declared that he saw great faith in that man, that centurion whose daughter had been healed. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 10. The Lord Jesus said he saw great faith in that woman whose daughter was delivered from a demon possession. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 28. In other words, the Lord saw these people and he saw their great faith as they heard and believed and acted on what they had heard. But then there's also, letter B, little faith. There's little faith. But even little faith can accomplish great things. Even little faith can accomplish great things. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Jesus said unto them, "If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed." Now, let me stop there just a moment. The grain of mustard seed, according to Mark chapter 4, verse number 31, that grain of mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. It's the smallest of all seeds. And Jesus said, Matthew 17, verse 20, that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, "Remove hence to yonder place," and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. When? When you have little faith. When you have little faith. But we need to remember that faith, it's a fluid thing. It is something that is fluctuating. It is something that is changing. This is very clearly seen in the story of the Apostle Peter. You remember the apostles were caught in a very dangerous storm there on the Sea of Galilee, and they're caught in the midst of that storm. They're battling against the elements, and it's nighttime. It's a frightening time, and they look up, and as they're there, they see a figure walking toward them on the water. They're terrified. They're frightened out of their wits. probably they're thinking to themselves, this is surely the death angel. And he's coming to claim us. And this is going to be the end. But you remember the Lord Jesus identified himself to them and said, Pete, don't be afraid. It's I, don't be afraid. And then the Apostle Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, then let me walk to you on the water. And the Lord Jesus said, come on. And Peter climbed out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. And I'll tell you something, that was great faith. That was great faith. But then as you continue reading the story, you find that Peter's focus was suddenly changed. His focus was changed. Instead of looking at the Lord Jesus, instead of keeping his eyes focused on the Savior, the Bible says in Matthew 14:30 that he saw the wind boisterous. In other words, instead of looking at the Lord Jesus, now he begins to look at the circumstances around him. Result, he was afraid. In other words, his faith is now replaced by fear. And as a result, then he was beginning to sink and he cried saying, Lord, save me. And therefore, the Lord Jesus said to that man who had such a great faith that was willing to get out of a boat in the midst of a storm and to begin walking on the water, because his focus changed and his circumstances changed, the Lord Jesus said to him in Matthew 14:31, O thou of little faith, had great faith just a few minutes ago, but now your faith is little, it's small. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Wherefore didst thou doubt? But here's the point. Here's the point. Our faith is measurable. And the measure of our faith, please understand this, the measure of our faith will always be determined by our focus. It will always be determined by our focus. Now that brings us to number three, the growing of faith. In other words, I'm going to talk about when faith grows and becomes hope. When faith grows and becomes hope. Now, we've already seen how that faith is not 100%. Faith is not 100% because we are humans living in a body of sinful flesh. Our faith is always going to be mixed with some form, some element of doubt. As one writer has well noted, every time we think we have the peace of God about something, doubt raises its ugly head. Have you ever noticed that to be true? Have you ever noticed it to be true? And so therefore, all of us need to pray. All of us need to pray the way that father prayed when he said to the Lord Jesus in Mark 9:24, he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Yes, Lord, I do believe, but there's this element of doubt that is still nagging, this element of doubt that is still troubling me. In other words, this father was confessing that even though he had faith in the Lord Jesus and that the Lord Jesus could heal his son, his faith was still battling with the doubts that human logic, human reason, human thinking would raise up in his mind. And so our faith, which is very basic, it needs to grow up. It needs to mature. It needs to be changed into hope. Now, with that in mind, let me just mention a couple of points here together. First of all, I want us to notice letter A, the defining of hope. Exactly what is that we're talking about? Well, a couple of things. First of all, defining hope in our thinking. When we say we hope something will happen, there is usually no confidence that it will really happen. When we say, well, I hope that this will be true, or I hope that this event will occur, or I hope that this thing will come to pass, we always leave the door open for disappointment because we really don't, we hope it will, but we really don't believe that it will. In fact, when we hope something will happen, if we're honest, we just generally do not expect it to. We do not expect it to. But in the Bible, the word hope has a far stronger meaning. So I want you to notice the definition, not in our thinking, but notice the definition according to the Word of God. In the Bible, the word hope means confident expectation. It means confident expectation, or as one commentator has noted, hope is faith with all the doubt taken out. Hope is faith with all the doubt taken out. But that raises a question. How does our faith, which is so unreliable, which is hot one day and cold the next, how does our faith become such a confident hope? How does our faith become a confident expectation? Well, let's notice letter B, the source of hope. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 5. And I want you to notice there's five steps that we're going to see that moves us from faith to hope. Five steps. Romans chapter 5, notice it with me, beginning in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Did you notice the steps? Did you notice the progression? You may want to mark them in your Bible. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it begins with faith. It begins with faith. Faith is the starting point of our Christian life. This faith, it's by faith that our salvation begins. Our relationship with God becomes a reality. The Apostle Paul said it very clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But not only did God save us by faith, we need to understand that God also has a plan. He has a purpose for each of our lives. And in order to make our lives to be something that is useful in his service, God then allows, number two, tribulations. Faith, tribulations. Tribulations. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. We glory in those tribulations. And the reason we glory in them is simply because of the fact we understand that tribulations are the tools that God uses to shape and to mold us into the instruments that he desires to be. Instruments that are usable in his hand to accomplish his plan and his purpose. Remember, it's by the fire that gold is purified and made to be more valuable. And so it is with tribulation. So it is with tribulation. Tribulation does something for us that nothing else can do. Tribulation does something that nothing else can do. And so therefore, we go from faith to tribulation to patience. To patience. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Patience is the ability to wait. The ability to wait, but not just wait, but to wait without complaining. To wait without becoming angry, to wait without becoming bitter toward God. In other words, patience is the ability to wait and see what God is going to do in and through and with our lives. And while we're waiting, we continually to faithfully love the Lord. We continue to faithfully obey him. We continue to faithfully serve him in whatever situation we may find ourselves. And as we do those things, then that patience then leads us into Romans chapter 5, verse 4, experience. There's faith, tribulations, patience, and then experience. Experience is not something that we get secondhand. Rather, it is something we have to learn firsthand. In other words, experience is the sum total of what we have learned as we patiently are waiting on God during the times of difficulty, during the times of trouble. Right now, our world is going through a time of trouble. With this coronavirus, we are learning firsthand what it means to be locked up in our homes, so to speak, having to wait on the Lord. Learning to just get alone with him. I hope you don't waste these opportunities to learn the experience and to experience the things that God would have for you to learn. As a result of this comes the final step. Begins with faith. As a result of faith, God allows tribulations. The result of the tribulations is we begin to develop patience. Because of the patience, we then begin to experience things about God that we've never known before. And the result of that is hope. Hope. Romans chapter 5, verse 4. In other words, this is that confident expectation that causes us to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that our God will faithfully do all that He has promised to do. The bottom line is, when it comes to growing our faith, when it comes to maturing our faith, the result will always be the sweet fruit of a hope that is not diluted by doubts. It's a hope that is not mingled with fears. In other words, it is a hope that will allow us to say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. By the way, there's faith. And am persuaded there's hope. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Let me close this evening with three questions. First of all, do you have faith? I'm talking about, do you have the kind of faith that has brought you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in Him? Have you been born again? Have you been made to become a child of God? Do you have that kind of faith? If so, as a Christian, then let me ask you this. How is the measure of your faith? Is your faith a little faith? Or is it a great faith? How's the measure of it? And if your faith is stagnant, don't you think it's time that we allow God to work in our heart so that our faith might begin to grow, to begin to mature as it should, so that it might turn into a hope that is confidently assured that everything God has done or everything God has said, that's exactly what He's going to do. That's the confident expectation that God will never fail you and that God will never default on any promise that He has given to you. May God help us to have a great faith that results in a God-honoring hope, absolutely confident that everything that He said, that's exactly what He's going to do. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Your word. I pray that You would take these few thoughts together, apply them in each heart and in each life. Lord, I realize that we're going through a time right now when there's a lot of fear, a lot of worry. A lot of people are very concerned about physical things, not just physical health, but even about the financial ramifications of all that's going on in our world today. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand that You are the all-wise God, and that You make no mistakes. And may we have not just a faith in You, but may we have a confident expectation. May we have a blessed hope that everything that You have promised, that's exactly what You're going to do. We ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us this evening. I trust that throughout the rest of this week that you'll be thinking along the line of these things that we have mentioned together. And I pray that God will use these things to speak to your heart and help your faith that it might grow and that even before the day is done, that it might begin to grow into a hope that is full of assurance and confidence in the faithfulness of our God. May God bless you. Thank you.